You are listening to Real World News.
New technologies, advances and caution at the UN negotiations. International organization ETC Group highlighted that the UN negotiations on sustainable development taking place in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, recognized that new technologies should be assessed in order to avoid negative impacts on health, environment and biodiversity. Nevertheless, the group's experts warned that the social movements should pay attention to the UN developments on technological solutions. They also made clear that the Rio de Janeiro texts are worrying in terms of geoengineering, a technology proposed to manage climate. The ETC group, present in Mexico and Canada, among other countries, works on issues related to new technologies and their impacts on local communities and biodiversity. Pat Mooney and Silvia Ribeiro, two of its main representatives, are following the UN negotiations in Rio and are also actively participating in the People's Summit. The summit is taking place in parallel to the UN talks and is organized by several social movements and organizations of Brazil and other countries. Rio World Radio interviewed Pat Mooney.
Okay, Pat, what have you been following here in the negotiations of the United Nations?
We've mostly been following technology issues, but we've also been tracking the food and agricultural issues, food sovereignty related issues, and mostly the participatory questions about how does civil society have a bigger role in the future developments of the United Nations following Rio Plus 20.
Have you heard something about the developments on geoengineering here?
Yeah, we've actually felt, I mean, it feels bad to say something good about all of this. I mean, this is really Silent Spring minus 50, much more than it is Rio plus 20. It's been 50 years since Rachel Carson wrote her book, and she should be rolling over in her grave. This is just a disaster. But there are some things that have come out of it that we can be, you know, in the context of a failure, be a bit optimistic. One of them is that on geoengineering, governments have agreed, including all governments have agreed, to support the moratorium against ocean fertilization as the perhaps most obvious kind of geoengineering that's actually been experimented with. It's a very clear statement. It's the first time that the United States has joined that statement, so we have unanimous world consensus on that, so we feel good about it. We need to go further on geoengineering than that, but we've done better than we actually expected.
Can we say that we have any kind of danger of this ban on ocean fertilization? Is it possible to leave it here, or do you think that it's going to be a ruling yet?
I think ocean fertilization drowned here in Rio. I think that the concept of it as a possible scientific solution to climate change is dead in the water, but we still keep track of it. The bigger issue around geoengineering is solar radiation management, blocking sunlight. And that hasn't been addressed here really because governments didn't understand it very well. It took them a while to grasp how important the agenda was. So we don't see it as a failure that they didn't take the wider issue, but we have to keep on tracking the agenda, certainly afterwards.
What are the dangers of the green economy, in your opinion, Pat?
Well, in 1992, our big concern was biopiracy and biopirates. Now our big concern is the biomasters. They're no longer the pirates, they're the masters. They got in 1992 that part of biological diversity that had value, the 23.8% of the world's biomass that was actually in the marketplace already. This time they've come back for the other 76.2% of the world's biomass that hasn't been in the market yet. This is the financialization of nature through the green economy. That's what they are trying to get, and they've gone a long way to getting it here, much more than we expected. We thought, in fact, that the G77 would be tougher in resisting it. And in fact, if you look at who are the victors here, it's really been the private sector, and the acceptance of this concept of financialization of nature has gone much further than I would have thought.
Which are the countries which are backing the most this kind of politics on geoengineering and this kind of stuff?
They look a lot like me. They speak English like I do. They got my kind of skin and my kind of background. It's the United States and Canada, my country. It's the UK, it's Australia, it's New Zealand. It's the big, bad former colonial powers. Much less so Western Europe, but also Western Europe.
Just to finish, Pat, what kind of consequences the geoengineering politics or more developments on that can have for the peoples and for the environment?
Well, it's potentially disastrous. I mean, what the United States and the United Kingdom especially they seem to be suggesting is that they can go it alone. If you can't get an agreement like a new Kyoto Accord, then don't worry, folks. We'll take care of the planet for you. We can individually as nations or as a new coalition of the willing of countries, we can ourselves go it alone, put our hands and control our planetary thermostat by ourselves. And that's the fear of geoengineering is that they will block, they will decide on solar radiation management strategies that benefit them, but not the entire planet.
You are listening to Real World News.